The gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to John, beginning at the 11th verse. Glory to Christ our Saviour. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Give thanks to the Lord for this, his glorious gospel. Praise to Christ our Lord. Please be seated. Well, after that reading, it's no surprise that today is often called Good Shepherd Sunday. Before I have a look at it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is such a familiar passage to many of us. So we ask you that today you will speak to each one of us the message that you want us to hear, whether it's through something that I say, or it is whispered to us directly by Holy Spirit. Amen. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. And we all have our own ideas, don't we, as to what a good shepherd is. Somebody dedicated, thoughtful, caring. Here is one writer's description. A good shepherd goes after his flocks when they get scattered. He rescues them from all the places they have been scattered to in the storms. He feeds them on the mountains, along the streams, in their own place. He leads them into lush pasture, so they can roam the mountains, graze at leisure, and feed in the rich pastures on the mountains of home. He goes after the lost, collects the strays, doctors the injured, and builds up the weak ones. Well, isn't that the sort of shepherd we want, we sheep? The sort of shepherd we want for our friends and our family. Someone who not only cares, but is able to rescue, feed and protect us. Someone who is able to provide for our needs. Now, some of you may recognize that that description comes from Ezekiel chapter 34, although I have edited it and made it third person. In the first person original, the Lord God says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And here in our gospel passage, Jesus identifies himself as the Lord God, saying, I am the good shepherd. Adding, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And laying down his life for the sheep is an addition to the Old Testament descriptions of a good shepherd. And by adding it, Jesus is giving this emphasis. Now it seems clear that Jesus is referring to the coming crucifixion. It calls to mind Jesus' struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane, which ends with his submission, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus agrees with his Father's will to lay down his life in the agonizing crucifixion. But when we think about it, Jesus laid his life down much earlier than this. Just think for a moment about his life before his conception in the womb of Mary. What was his life like in heaven with his Father, with angels at his bidding, angels worshipping him? We can only imagine, and then we will be way off. Yet Jesus laid this life down in order to live as a human being, a little lower than the angels, as it says in Psalm 8, subject to hunger, thirst, tiredness, dirt. Yes, Jesus laying down his life includes the crucifixion, but it rolls in the incarnation, being born as a human being and living our life. And the words in verses 17 and 18 in our gospel reading that struck me are these: "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." He is, of course, signaling his resurrection. I want to just digress here for a moment. The translation says, "For this reason the Father loves me." And it gives the impression that the Father's love for the Son is conditional, something that Jesus earns. And that, of course, is a nonsense. He is God. However, the Greek words that are translated "for this reason," just two, dia tuto, can, I understand, also accurately be translated as "through this," as in spoken, as spoken by the Lord through the prophet, dia, through, in Matthew. And if we take it this way, it makes more sense, because we see that Jesus is, the Father goes on loving Jesus through his death and his resurrection. Anyway, back to what I was saying. What strikes me in verse 17 is, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again." Isn't that extraordinary? We might expect him to say, "I lay down my life in order that sins may be forgiven." But no, Jesus says he lays down his life in order to take it up again. Of course, the crucifixion would be useless without the resurrection. Good Friday would mean nothing at all if it were not for Easter Day. Indeed, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he was just simply another man, unjustly crucified by the Romans, with nothing at all to do with the sins of the world. But his resurrection testifies that he did indeed gain the victory over sin and death. And as a result, Peter is able to say on the day of Pentecost, much earlier in Acts, "God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for death to hold him in its power." Jesus had conquered death. And in a very real sense, it is Jesus' resurrection that brings us forgiveness of our sins and new life in Christ. The statement from Jesus in our gospel reading, "I take my life up again," actually says more than what Matthew, Mark, and Luke have him saying, which is, "I will be raised on the third day." That, of course, refers to the actual resurrection day, the day that we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Jesus is alive. Alleluia. But "I take up my life again" looks further ahead, beyond the day of resurrection, to the restoration of the life Jesus had before his birth in the stable. Now, is Jesus being selfish here? Is crucifixion and resurrection the only way that he can get back to where he was and regain the life that he had before the incarnation? Well, I don't think so, because Jesus here is speaking in the context of being a good shepherd. and in the context of bringing other sheep into the sheepfold. A truly good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it, not only lays down his life for the sheep, but does something that no other good shepherd can do. He takes it back up again. And he does this not only for himself, but for the sake of his sheep, for us. I take my life up again goes beyond the day of resurrection. It rolls in the day of ascension, which we will commemorate in a couple of weeks' time. It changes the dynamic. If the resurrection actuates the forgiveness of the cross, then we can argue that the ascension activates our new life in Christ. Jesus is once more seated at the Father's right hand. He is once more worshipped by angels. But the dynamic of the relationship between God and us has changed. Yes, he is still transcendent and mysterious and to be worshipped with awe. But the life Jesus has taken up now fulfills his promise to be a good shepherd through an intimate personal relationship with his sheep, with us who individually know his voice. As John tells us in our epistle today, God lives in us and we live in God. Jesus has taken up his life again in heaven and in us. What could be more intimate than God living in us, Jesus in us? How better can the good shepherd nourish, protect, lead, and care for us than by living within our lives? And it is by loving others that we abide in Christ. And how can we love others better than by introducing them to the Good Shepherd himself? We may do this by caring acts of kindness and generosity, as John urges in his epistle. It may be through healing, as in the book of Acts. Or it may be by a word of testimony, telling somebody else about Jesus. Jesus said, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And he has left us, the body of Christ, to bring them in on his behalf. It's so cozy, isn't it, to sit in the comfort and warmth of the sheepfold. But Jesus calls us to go out and seek the others that he wants to be in his sheepfold too. And it reminds me of the poem by St. Teresa of Avila that so impressed me as a teenager when I first heard it, reminding us that because of his ascension, Christ is now in us. He is us, the hope of glory, his glory. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks at the world with compassion. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are the body, his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours. So let us partner with Jesus, who has taken up his life to give life to us and seek to bring others into his fold. Amen.